Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Best of Magpie Games Bundle, okay. Mystic Punks RPG, uh-huh. New Age of Sigmar, can you believe it?
No,
can't. Hasbro AI, the CEO, like doubles down. And Karen, second edition.
So we're ending on something positive.
Yeah, okay, so cool. trying to not end on the most depressing thing ever. So this was really surprising. They're literally calling it the Best of Magpie Games bundle.
So if you didn't make it in, ouch.
What's that?
If you didn't make it in,
oh yeah, yeah, no, yes, yeah, right. If your game isn't in there, sorry, yeah, you're not quite the best. But I forget how extensive their library is, and I forgot they did Avatar.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. So the thing they're leading with, of course, is the Avatar Legends. Yep. Yes, yes. So Magpie Games, who are probably best known now for Avatar, but also for Root, the RPG conversion of the board game, yep. The little cute little animals stuff. But they also do things like Our Last Best Hope and Bluebeard's Bride, mm-hmm. and there's a ton of really good stuff that I've wanted to try for a while. So now it's like all in one place. And all digital, of course. But they're also offering, and I think you have to be, it's a, for North American shipping, physical edition of the Avatar Legends starter set. So they do that sometimes on these bundles. If you go all the way in, they'll ship you for a pretty decent discount. Okay. Who knows about what the shipping is like. Right. But for a pretty good price, you can get a physical copy, usually of a starter set or something.
Cool.
Something like that. So this is all to benefit the Child's Play charity and 30 books and supplements. So wow. Including Our Last Best Hope, The Play is the Thing, other things that jumped out, Undying, Masks, and all of the expansions for that.
Cartel and Passion de la Passion.
Yes, yes.
Which I want to play. I actually want to try.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. And then the Bluebeard's Bride and three of the other books for that. A lot of stuff. Yeah, I was really surprised. And then Avatar Legends, the starter set, you'll get a digital version even if you don't do the physical level. And then an urgent request, some more adventure supplies. So a lot of stuff. I was surprised how much stuff, because usually these bundles, there's like one thing, two things you want, and it's like, okay, and the rest. But yeah, Magpie's got a lot of stuff I've had my eye on for a while. So yeah, that might be a good thing to get. So that's available until April 13th. Oh, and unfortunately, I didn't do the price points. I usually have that. So I think it's like $30, like 30 something for everything, including the physical box, and then 25, 10, and 1 is how they usually do it. And I think 1 just gets you the Avatar Legends starter. Okay. And
so I know what they're pushing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they definitely are. But I'm surprised. So I've heard a little bit about it, but it hasn't gotten as much because the Kickstarter went really well for them. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard much about the game since it's been released. I haven't seen like people actual plays of it or anything. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, but it didn't seem to have the effect. It's something that I'm marginally interested in because I always looked at Avatar as like, oh, it's fake anime. I don't know what this is, you know, because it had that it was on Nickelodeon, so it had that tone. And
live action series now.
Right? Yeah, right. That's right. It's on Netflix. Yikes. But at least that we can. They're trying to erase the memory of that movie, the Shyamalan movie. Yeah. But so check that out. And we've got. Oh, and this was interesting. There's no affiliate code. So there's a link to this, but it's not an affiliate link. So they maybe they made some sort of deal, or maybe because of the license or whatever, they're not offering this as an affiliate link. So check that out, and you've got until April 13th for a lot. 30 decent games and supplements.
I would do it just for like Bluebeard's Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Mask stuff.
Yeah.
The Passion de la Passion's Epilion, which I think looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to try Cartel, too. I've been I looked at that a couple of times, the physical book, and was like, oh, the shipping is so bad. Yeah.
What with us international customers? You're like, I'm interested, not $60 shipping interested. Right. Damn it, right?
Well, the price got doubled. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on Humble Bundle, and link in the description. Something else that popped up, Mystic Punks. So a weird magic, grungy counterculture RPG that originally started as a digital-only solo game. Yeah. Okay. So Mystic Punks, Angrier and Dirtier. So it's now getting an official core book, and this is going to be crowdfunding on Kickstarter. So role-playing game of Magic Punks on the in a world on the brink of apocalypse. So, yeah, it's a kind of 80s and 90s, so think like Reaganomics, you know, Bush years, kind of railing against the establishment, man. So Anthony Maloro, the creator, originally did this in 2016 as a solo RPG. And the aesthetic was kind of a blend of B-movie horror, magical monsters, and itinerant mall teen fashion. So now the co-designer is working with Exalted Funeral, and co-designer Jay Domingo they're working together to do a fully formed tabletop game that is now on Kickstarter. So a blurb from that is: the world under threat from vengeful ghosts, shambling eldritch gods, and the gelatinous force of acid monsters from below the city's sewer, and all that stands between it and a dozen of encroaching threats are a motley crew of disaffected burnouts, goths, punks, and rebels armed with magical abilities and potent relic weapons. So this new book will fleshes out and revises rules underpinning the old solo adventure with a campaign builder and more monsters and guidance on weaving a bit of intrigue and mystery into the setting.
Interesting.
So D6, yeah, based on rolling a handful of D6s, you get 5 stats: vigilance, agility, and intellect, social, and cunning. Your signature weapon, and everyone gets some spells.
So everybody's Mystic Punk.
Yes, everyone's a Mystic Punk. And only you know the true name of the weapon that you're wielding, but it is a cheap knockoff you got from a kiosk at the mall. So it's like, I was just imagining like the throwing stars and stuff that you could get in the 80s at the shopping mall kiosk. So yeah,
it's gonna
be that. And there are astral markers that act as guides. And
I thought they were actually like markers.
Oh yeah, there we go. Astral markers. Well, there could be. You know, the Sharpies like were kind of popular. Astral markers. So the weird real world of the psycho realms bleeds into your dimension. So yeah, this is 250 pages. Wow. So a hefty serving of artwork, and they list a bunch of artists involved on the Kickstarter page. 45 monsters from space, underground, and that weird industrial park a few blocks down. So they're going to do a Tome of the Dark guide as well. So a core book and then Tome of the Dark, which will be tables and tables and tables. So
who
loot,
doesn't
magic.
Like tables?
Yes.
Right?
Weed strain. There's a weed strain table too. So if you want to roll to see what you're smoking, scenarios and trouble and anything else.
I'm not saying this is OSR, but I've noticed, or I feel like there is like this connection between like drugs and OSR. Like there's always some kind of like hallucinogenic table or weird table. And it's kind of like, as someone who like doesn't necessarily care what other people do, but I just think it's kind of like weird that this seems to be kind of associated for me. Just like, why?
Right.
Is it an OSR thing if you don't have a drug table?
Yeah, right. Well, I think after the nerds, you know, kind of got the ball rolling, I think all the potheads kind of picked up D&D. Because, you know, that was I think Tolkien was read by a lot of, you know, burnout college kids. So that kind of fits. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Cyberpunk too.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk, yeah.
Yeah, and psychedelic music and stuff picked up on fantasy a lot. Yeah, so that's what you got. So this is going to run through April 19th and be delivered first quarter of 2025. So yeah, so check that out if you want to be a Mystic Punk. Yes.
With a knockoff relic.
Right. And the thing that made me interested in this is that it started out as a digital only smaller thing, something like Bright Hammer that could be expanded out into a
250 pages. Like,
you'd like to lay that out, wouldn't you? You got some extra time.
Actually, I would, provided Affinity doesn't move an AI or subscription service. Oh my God,
right.
I'm pissed off
about
that.
Who bought them? The
Canva.
Yeah.
Or I don't know the deals. I don't know if Canva bought them, but they're now with Canva. Like, right. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Yeah. But Canva's like a web app thing, right?
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, like Bright Hammer's like an A7 booklet. I've thought like, okay, there's more stuff I can add to this. And the idea of like sitting down and expanding this to even to like a normal digest size book, I'm like, what the fuck is supposed to go in here? I don't know. Right? Sometimes I think like brevity is like appealing. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know.
But you just print out the sheets and then dotted lines you cut, and then the solid lines you fold.
I've thought about it. I've thought about just like, how big can I make this type? I'll just blow it up. It's just like, wow, this is like a fucking baby's first RPG. The words are huge, right?
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. So that's got to happen, though. We've got to
do something.
Yeah, something. Get that out to a wider audience at a physical. Have a physical thing.
Because nobody, as far as I can tell, prints a 7 size book.
Right, right.
Like A5 is like the smallest I've found.
Right? No, yeah, I think that's true. I think, yeah, you have to, that's very hand done. That's very boutique-y.
Yeah.
Right. So it's been 9 years and we're on the 4th edition. And I'm talking, of course, about Age of Sigmar. What the fuck? Talk about not getting a rule set right. So
wow, it's been 9 years and we're now going up to like 4th. Okay, 4th. Fourth is the current edition?
Yeah, the one that's coming. The one that's coming this summer. Jeez, is the fourth edition. It's been 9 years. It's like, okay, so is anyone ever going to figure this out? The Games Workshop is on this like 3 year or 2.5 year cycle where they don't ever get the rules right. They don't ever fix them. And then they switch to another system before they've even finished the previous one. You're just being sold very expensive volumes of unfinished crap that they just keep rolling out, and then it's like, oh, well, no, we'll revise it and fix it in the next version. Like, they just give up fixing it, and then they just do another version. It's like, what the hell?
Are you unfamiliar with Games
Workshop? Yeah, but that's insane. I mean, the fact that the actual rules aren't free because they're such trash is amazing. You know, just sell your plastic, but they're selling $70 rule, you know, so the $70 books that are incomplete. In fact, for 10th edition, that book was obsolete, I think, before it even got into people's hands because they fucked up the rules so bad in it that, yeah, so it's just...
You're 40K 10th edition.
Yeah, 40K 10th edition was just like, not even, I mean, you may as well throw that book away because they did so many FAQs and so many re-explanation of what they meant. This is what we actually meant.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm certainly not defending them, but like, okay, people like their models, people buy their models, the models are nice, right? I think there is them not doing rules would be leaving money on the table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. No, so, definitely. like that's people are gonna like just the way people are gonna continue to buy their miniatures. People are gonna continue to buy their games because they're associated. Right. I have to think that people who have already jumped ship to like other model companies or other rule systems have basically already done so.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. No, I don't think they're gonna. Yeah, they're not gonna chase any. No matter what they do, they're not chasing anybody else away. Because they figured it out. They've obviously figured out this production schedule and how to slot everything in, keeping their investors happy, keeping the supply chain, you know, chugging along, you know, working with what they had to deal with. Because Brexit was a little bit of a hiccup for them because the rules kind of changed about like merging paper and plastic into the same box. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's definitely. They've got all of the suckers that they're going to get because they do that ridiculously overpriced book and then they do a collector's version of it for like $30 more. Yeah. So it's just like the contents of this are completely useless. And the thing that's so frustrating and, you know, probably why this works is because then they shred the old stuff. Like the old stuff just disappears. You can only get used, you can only get used older stuff because they don't sell any of that back stock or anything. They don't clear any of that up.
Why would they want you buying it?
They just set it on fire. And in fact, when they release stuff, when they release the old codexes and even the old white dwarves and stuff, they take the rules
out. I've seen
that. They blank out the rules. It's like, you won't be needing these. You can just look at the pretty pictures. Yeah. But anyhow, what is coming up with this fourth edition? The Vermin Doom. So they're leaning on the old reliable Skaven. Yes.
Okay.
They're leaning on the old reliable Skaven, which are not included in the old world and will never be. So they're going
deeper. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because they want you to play Age of Sigmar.
Right. Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, well, but why can't we play Skaven? Did we mention 4th edition will feature Skaven? So yes, Into the Realm of Fire comes the Vermin Doom. So they did a cinematic trailer with this big weird stone thing bursting out of the ground and all kinds of wacky rat men charging the so Sigmar has opened the ruination chamber, and they're kind of leaning a little heavier into maybe mechanics for this reforging process. So when the the fantasy space marines die, they come back. But what price do they pay, or what, you know, whatever. That's kind of been touched on in the fiction, that you lose your humanity the more you reforge. But so maybe there'll be a mechanic for that, or something, you know, something a little bit more more fun. Of course, they're going to revamp the rules. Oh, thank God. Combat range has been changed to 3 inches. Oh, thank God. Okay. Streamlined and less friction, because you know you don't want any friction in your games. Yeah, so, and they're going to do the same thing they're doing with 40K. They did combat patrols, mm-hmm. which is basically killing kill team off, because you can play mini. If you can play mini 40K, why would you play kill team? And they're doing spearheads, is what they're calling it. So they're giving, it's like the little starter box, and it's a balanced box with its own rules that you can play, just pick up and play. So $150, $200, you're in. Yeah.
Sorry, when you said, why am I surprised? Yes, why yes, am yes, I surprised? Yes. You said little box.
Yeah, little one.
$150 is not little box price, nope, right? Nope, it is for GW. Carry on.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. So that proto kill team thing that they did, they almost had it, because it was, they were just putting stickers on a box that says this works with whatever that was called. Right. And it was like $20, $30 boxes. And it's like, I can play with these like five models, or I can play with these, you know, eight models. And yeah, those days are long gone. Yeah. So it's a smaller format. They say you can play in an hour, and they're trying to balance all the, giving you a balancing all the factions by kind of nerfing a lot of the abilities. Like, they're stripping stuff out just for those specific rules. Of course, those rules are all in the larger format, but who cares? And I guess they're trying to get their stuff, trying to get their stuff together for Age of Sigmar. They're saying they're making it more modular, so you can just ignore a lot of stuff you don't want to play with, because they've added like spells that have miniatures that run around the table stuff. All this spells, so they got all this nonsense that they've added over time, and I guess you can just say nope.
Well, I mean, like that's the thing with any kind of rule system that has to continue. Like, if you continuously put stuff out for a rule system, mm-hmm. you like, unless you're extremely careful, you eventually end up with rules bloat, right? Just so many things. And sure, I think that's a normal development cycle. They go, okay, you know what? We got to either strip this back, combine mm-hmm. stuff, put out FAQs, update stuff so that it's easier to use. It's just quality of life stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it every 18 months, right?
Right. Well, they're going to. But yeah, so everyone's going to get War Scrolls at launch for free, which are just crap that are not playable, but because, you know, they know how pissed off you are that your army books are useless now, suddenly all useless, they hand you this, these free stat lines to play in these new rules, and then eventually to be replaced.
And they're never as good
again.
As whatever new codex they put up.
Yeah, and they're always just thrown together, crap balanced, and you sit and wait for your codex. So keep it up, guys. I mean, they figured it out. I mean, they got this thing going. The numbers are only growing, though. Like, the new players, I mean, they're probably losing a lot of old players that are just frustrated with this grind.
Well, but I mean, people get old and they die.
Yeah, right. But they're sucking in new players. I mean, I think it's the competitive scene is probably bigger than ever for 40K. So, hot damn. And so, Age of Sigmar, they're trying to get that up there as well. So good luck with that. I'm sure the investors will be happy.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought, actually, Age of Sigmar was coming out last year, and that would have only been 2 years. I'm like, how could every other year there's going to be Age of Sigmar? But no, it was summer of 2024. Because they released, mid-pandemic, they released the third edition.
Right.
I'm like, who noticed that? Who played that?
All the people started playing it.
Yeah. Yes, sir, all the people. But they had to play it on Tabletop Simulator. All right. So the Great Breaching, the known universe is coming to visit the major and minor houses. I got to figure all this out. So basically, we're doing seating charts and we're doing guests are invited.
Shopping trips?
Yes, shopping trips. And so for Dune, Adventures in the Imperium, we're having a big event for the house that the players are playing. And what do I need for all this planning? I need energy. I need focus. And how do I do that? Well, there's a little shot that I've discovered. It's a mental performance shot. So reclaim your brain with Magic Mind. So Magic Mind is a matcha-based energy shot. So sustained caffeine release. Because the problem with coffee, which is how this channel has been powered for most of its history, is the spike. So you a few cups of coffee, you start to get jittery, and then eventually you're going to crash. The caffeine in coffee does not sustain it. it just spikes. And you can try this, you know, there's ways like coconut oil and putting butter and things in coffee that have been tried.
I tried it. It's not that good.
Yes. It doesn't, but it, so it doesn't help. But the inventor of Magic Mind has figured this out. So using the caffeine in matcha, which is already a slow release caffeine in Japanese green tea, basically, and then supplementing it with other herbs and mushroom powders, you are able to get a sustained focus that lasts, that gives you alertness, energy, and mental focus, and it has a sustained effect with no crash. So basically, the thing that it's done for me is giving me back my mornings. So my schedule has been shifting, been working late into the night. Up in the morning, I'm useless, but Magic Mind has given me the ability to have more work of more normal schedule from home and get my morning back instead of using those wee hours of the night to get things done. So my most productive time has turned around. Yes. So the other thing that it does is I get my sleep back. So that's the thing. Working too late means you sleep less. Being able to work in the morning means that I can get normal sleep. And yes, so, and unfortunately, about a cup of coffee is all I can deal with anymore. But this works well in concert with whatever you do in the morning. If you do tea or coffee in the morning, you can also include this. And just that small amount of caffeine will be supplemented or benefited by this shot. So you'll get the benefits of it and still have your normal morning kind of kick, wake up if you need it. But it's, you know, I haven't been able to go past one cup anymore because it's very brutal on your stomach, on your nerves, all that good stuff. So all natural ingredients sourced from the best suppliers. So there's no sugar, it's nut-free, vegan, keto, and paleo-friendly. So like I said, matcha is the main ingredient. And if you chill it, it's a really good tasting, easy to drink shot. So nothing you have to choke down. It's actually quite pleasant tasting. So if you would like to try Magic Mind and get back your sharpness and a sustained energy, you can go to the URL down below here. So magicmind.com/upturntable. So that's our link, and that'll let you know. Let them know that you heard it from us. So MagicMind, MagicMind.com/upturned, UPTURNED, and use the code UPTURNED20, UPTURNED20, to get a 20% discount off of any purchase. And if you use that code for a subscription, you'll get a 56% off of your first subscription for Magic Mind. And basically, that will give you a dose every day, like so a 30-pack that will renew every month. So you can use it as a daily starter. And they suggest, if you're going to try it, they have a nice sample pack of 5 to do at least 3 days before you're going to be feeling the full effects of it. So, and they have a 100% money back guarantee, no questions asked, and they refund within 3 to 4 hours if you're not satisfied. So
it's pretty fast.
Yeah. Nothing to lose. So yeah, please, visit the URL below and use our code UPTURN20 to get your discount. And, yes, thank you, Magic Mind. Yep. And, now back to our regularly scheduled program. Oh, not that one.
Okay. Ah, we had 30 seconds before we...
That's right, I can't go back. 30 seconds of silence. No, okay. Now we're back. Okay, now I have to do a different... Okay, we have to do this differently now. Okay, well, the humanity's war against the machines continues.
Butlerian Jihad 2024. Come on, let's do it.
I think we should, because CEO Chris Cox is all in. So Hasbro's AI plans have been spilled. So I don't know if this was a speech or if this was an interview, if this was a presentation or an interview, but this former Microsoft fella is all in on large language models and artificial intelligence, generated.
I guess he called it what it actually is, large language model.
But they want to use it ethically in light of several missteps, previous work. So Wizards of the Coast, of course, has failed to disclose they've used AI involved in several pieces of art, mostly promotional stuff for Magic the Gathering and all that stuff. And then they had the false positive on the dwarf from the New Player's Handbook. It said AI. They've had all kinds of fun. So a quote from this fine fellow, the CEO of Hasbro, We're trying to do a new AI product experiment once every 2 to 3 months. That's tending to be more game focused for us, a little more gamified. We're trying to keep keep it towards older audiences to make sure all the content is appropriate. You'll see more of how we're thinking about how we can integrate AI, how we can integrate digital products with physical gaming over time. I think the most major entertainment and IP holders are at least thinking about it.
What the gibberish was that?
I know. Older, so they're just going to trick older gamers with chat
robocalls.
Yeah, right. And yeah, so. But talking about respecting the creators and the art and the ownership of things, Cox said, we certainly weren't at our best during some points on the open game license, but I think we learned pretty fast. We got back to first principles pretty quickly. The key there is the responsible use of it. We have an even higher bar we need to hit because we serve audiences of all ages. We go from preschoolers to adulthood.
What preschoolers are playing D&D? Sorry.
Whatever. I don't think we can be very cavalier in how we think about AI. That said, it's exciting. There's a lot of potential for delighting audiences. We need to make sure that we do it in a way that respects the creators we work with, respects their works of art, respects their ownership of those works, and also creates a fun and safe environment for the kids that might use it.
Sorry, I was mistaken. This is the Hasbro CEO. So yes, Hasbro.
Yeah, right. They're going to have all the Mr. Potato Heads or whatever else they got.
Probably have the game Cooties, right?
Yes, right. I'm sure they do. They definitely got the Cooties. But yeah, so they're going to leverage. So yeah, we're celebrating, 50 years of D&D. So they're going to leverage all of that content and just shove it into some AI to spit it out at you. So look forward to your AI DMs and all that good stuff. That's the thing they really have to, from this point moving forward, that's going to have to be included in any contract or any work with creators, is like, yeah, any of your writing, any of your artwork, any visual work is going to be fed into our machines. So be prepared to do that. And I guess, yeah, we'll have to see if any problems come up with what they've done in the past, because they don't have those agreements, but maybe they can kind of say, well, it is work for hire. And I think once Wizards, that was the only nice thing that I read about the kind of Wizards takeover of TSR, is they found that archive, they found that room that was just the archive of all the old physical paintings and things, and they gave it back to the artists.
That's
usually how they handle it. I know that Magic does that. If it was created physically, if it wasn't digital work, if it's a painting that was scanned and you sent it to them and they scanned it, they have it now and they send you back the original, because artists can supplement their income by selling their originals. So that's kind of
unfortunate.
Thing. Yeah.
A little bit, right? You always see people selling original stuff and I'm just like...
But that's, I mean, it's... Yeah, because they get paid. Get paid once for it, so they have to. Yeah, there's not going to be huge royalties, but... they already have 15,000 pieces of card art for Magic the Gathering that they can, feed into an AI.
Can't wait to see, never mind.
Yeah, and the other detail that came out in this that I thought was funny is Peppa Pig has around 20 years, so that's hundreds of thousands of hours of Peppa Pig that you can feed into AI. So that'll make the internet that much weirder. But all the things that they license, all their IPs that they can leverage, Transformers, yeah, G.I. Joe, all that great stuff, they're going to just shove it in there. So can't wait to see what they're doing. So and a little bit more specifically about D&D, Cox said, I use AI in building out my D&D campaigns. I play D&D 3 or 4 times a month with my friends. I'm horrible at art. I don't commercialize anything I do. It doesn't have anything to do with work, but what I'm able to accomplish with Bing Image Creator or talking to ChatGPT, it really delights my middle-aged friends when I do Roll20 campaigns or a D&D Beyond campaign, and I put some PowerPoints together on a TV and call it an interactive map. What is...
I don't know. Sounds very much like he's trying to be like hip and like, yeah, I use it.
Hello, just like, fellow kids.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah. All right. But it's just like, okay, don't they have like a VTT or something? I mean,
you would think that he might have access to that. Maybe not. Maybe they.
It seems okay. I forget. Don't know. No, not I forget. I don't know details because I don't really care. But it seems kind of real crap mm-hmm. that he would just say, oh, I play D&D too, and I use all this free other stuff, instead of saying, use the resources that we, the company, also sell, right?
Right, yeah. He remembered at the end, he's like, oh, and on D&D Beyond, the thing that we actually
Yeah, sure you did, yeah.
But I also use PowerPoint on my TV. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Now, you know, you don't need all that other stuff. Just use like a Bing image creator, right?
Anyway, right, yeah. Yeah, that's really going to make it less less motivation to buy any of their assets. You mean Bing Image Creator is all I needed this whole time?
Yeah.
Yes. So there are definitely areas to be watchful of. I was quoted as saying definitely elements to. Oh yeah, this is the worst. There are definitely elements to the chess game that we have to think of before we move. It's really cool technology that has a lot of playfulness associated with it. If we can figure out how to harness it in the right way, it'll end up being a boon for users and profitable as hell for our stockholders. Yes, ha ha ha. Yeah, so whatever. That's really depressing that they're, I mean, of course, former Microsoft exec and the Wizards of the Coast is former Microsoft exec. So,
talking to shareholders. Yep. Yeah.
And they're going to be all in on this. So, yeah, look forward to the sanctioned AI Dungeon Masters sometime soon.
You know, I said Butler and Jihad 2024, and I still stand by it. But you know what else we should do? Just, like, no more shareholders.
Right? Yeah, right.
Like, that seems to be, like, the initiatification of everything, right? It's like, as soon as you stop just trying to, like, better your company and say, oh, well, the people who own our company got to make money, that's when things start going downhill.
Right. Yeah, I heard somebody talking about late-stage capitalism and how Marx said this, you know, like what, almost a century ago, like that's what's going to happen is the companies will get so powerful that they'll start to turn on each other, and then they're going to turn on the state, and it's just this cannibalism until there's one big fat survivor, and so it doesn't matter the quality, it doesn't even matter what they do anymore. Yep. It's just the power that they're brokering, so either the financial power, the political power, and they're just gonna they're just using they're already bullying the government. Disney has already bullied. Yep. The federal government into saying, yeah, copyright shouldn't be 50 years. It should be 75. So,
nothing to do with the fact that we have stuff that
would be right. Yeah. So, yeah, really depressing. So, we're just going to see that. I mean, and so you wonder why things suck so bad.
No,
it's because there's no competition. There's no risk. There's not 50 companies competing. There's two companies, and they're not really competing with each other anymore. It's like there is no competitor for Star Wars. So, Disney doesn't have to do anything. You know, it has to do anything with. There's no real competitor to, you know, what they did with Marvel, so they can just do whatever now. It doesn't matter what the product is anymore. It just they just have to put something in the hole and ship it out. But that's really really depressing. But let's end on a positive note. Something happy and fun to actually see. So a super light RPG, so Cairn, mm-hmm. is getting a second edition.
Ooh, nice.
And they're going to do a second edition of the stripped-down old-school tabletop RPG. And that started yesterday, so the 27th. So originally designed by Yochai Gao, now 2.0 is going to pick up with a full team of editors, artists, and layout designers to give you core rules. The nice thing is the core rules will always be available for free. So that's what I think crowdfunding is good for. It's like, oh, I would love to have this as an object. Okay, right. So chip into this campaign, and then everybody can have this at a reasonable price.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can make this possible. Otherwise, it will be, you know,
Digital
only and free forever. But if you want to, you know, support us and kind of celebrate this game that you like. So they revised beyond their intentionally broad beginnings in 2020. So this is going to include three books, a player's guide, a warden's guide, and then an adventure book, The Trouble in Twin Lakes. So, I'm sorry. So the game is inspired by other OSR kind of retro clones like Knave and Into the Odd, kind of their two major inspirations, which prioritizes player knowledge and problem solving over combat prowess. So a good instinct for tactical retreats is a good way to play the game. And so characters can be rolled up quickly. There's expanded crawl construction rules, of course, random tables to create compelling sessions without hours of prep, and then guidance on building personalized quests tied to character development. So yeah, they've got a nice big team putting everything together. This campaign, it's on Kickstarter as well, running until April 26th. It's going to get you a physical box set complete with a GM screen and a pad of tear-off character sheets.
I like those, yeah.
Yes. So So it has origins, of course, as a digital first RPG, but yeah, this, and especially a box set, if you know, old school retro RPG in a box set is great. And that's a good way to kind of celebrate its existence. So it's a platinum bestseller on DriveThru.
Oh, nice.
And it's a D20 based as well. So the first edition was only a 24 page book.
24 page, my God, yeah. That's massive.
But that offered 20 backgrounds and 36 possible ways to build each background, and that gave you 700 different possible characters to play. Wow. But now the player's guide, so everything is going to be produced as a 5.5 by 8.5 perfect bound soft cover. So they're going to do 92 page player's book, a warden's guide, 120. 20 pages, and then the adventure is going to be a 24-page book. And they'll also include, depending on, as stretch goals, depending on the success, 3 more adventures are in the works as stretch goals, and those will be produced in that same way. And the warden screen is that it will, of course, fit in the box, so it's that same size. It'll be 5 panels of 5.5 by 8.5. And so if you enjoyed, if you ever played this, and I've heard recommendations for this, I mean, always. So we did a campaign that Matt ran of one of the inspirations. So we played Knave.
Right. Yeah,
Knave Second Edition. And I have Into the Odd. We haven't played that yet, but that's all kind of the similar thinking. So the D20, but kind of like a, you know, stripped down, more rules light idea. So yeah, if you're interested in those kind of games at all, and the artwork that they've got to support this is really great. So it's definitely worth taking a look at. So the digital version of this for everything is $20. Just the books is $30, and then if you want the box, $55.
That's
so
reasonable.
Yeah, definitely reasonable. They're not milking the way some of these box sets do. Although some of the box sets go with the gold foil and the faux leather, and so that's what makes the prices ridiculous. But that also includes all the stretch goals that you get as both, and everything is both physical and digital if you do physical pledge. So I'll put a link to that in the description, and that's Space Penguin Inc. that is helping make that possible. So yeah, take a look at Karen if you're interested in Into the Odd.
Cool.
Or anything like that. So that'll do it for this week.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
On Blue Sky and Instagram at HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I think it's Tiny Lion Rampant base schematics for a while.
Nice. Anyway. Excellent.
Cool. So how about you?
And I'm trying to draw my single panel gag cartoon, Abuse Cartoons, on YouTube and Twitch. And you can read the cartoon on Go Comics. So gocomics.com/abusecartoons. And if you'd like to support what we're doing here, and take a look at this. Where did I put? I can't find anything anymore.
Yeah.
Our new patron. So Crease111, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. We're on fire for you.
If you want us to not be on fire.
Right? Yes. So thank you so much for your support. Crease is our latest patron.
Yay.
And we'll keep the exploding fireballs going. I'm sorry, we don't get good notifications for YouTube membership. Patreon gives you notifications.
Okay.
But yeah, so sorry if we haven't noticed you becoming a YouTube member, but you are important and you are loved. So thank you so much. And if you'd like to support what we're doing here, consider becoming a weakling.
The strongest of all supporters.
You can do that on Patreon, patreon.com/upturntable. Tell us what you want to see more of on the weekly and more on the channel. And like Crease, just let us feel the love. Let us know you're out there. And and then have direct access to us from the private messages. And the audio for this live stream goes on to the RSS feed for Patreon, so you can listen to that without ads, and the audio is sweetened.
Nice.
All right. So that's YouTube. That's Upturn Table on YouTube and Twitch and all social media.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.